That was gorgeous.
Thank you.
A little bit earlier than normal. So, how's everyone this morning? Okay. It's not snowing. It's not raining. And it's not... I'm not going to say anything else. The weather's been just a bit unpredictable, but God's always with us. So we don't have to listen to the prelude at this point because we got it a little early and it was absolutely stunning. So please sign the friendship sheet, pass it to others, and make sure it gets back to the center aisle. Let's all make sure that our phones are on off or stun. So... our announcements, there's a lot of them in on the back in here. So I'm not going to give you a whole lot of it because you just get it to the start and go. I'm going to mention a couple of things, though. There's only two more Wednesday Vespers services, so make sure you come to those and then have soup afterwards. Monday, Thursday will be April 18th, and the Seder Supper will be at 6:30 p.m., the reason I bring it up is make sure you get your reservation by noon, Monday, April 15th. Otherwise, you can't come, and you'll be missing out on a lot. There are more announcements in the bulletin, so be sure to read them carefully. Now let's stand and greet one another, and then we'll sing our opening hymn, I Am Thine, O Lord, on page 601, verses 1, 2, and 4 in the hymnal.
Number 601.
Thank you.
join me in the call to worship? We gather in the name of Jesus, who fasted in the wilderness for 40 days.
We follow this one who knew hunger, the one who calls us to feed the hungry.
Our souls hunger and thirst for God's righteousness.
Jesus said, "Let anyone who is thirsty come to me."
Lord, we long for your love and life-giving waters of the Spirit.
We are fed and filled in worship, and we meet Christ face to face in the world.
When we serve in Jesus' name, we become his hands and feet.
When we open our hearts to those in need, we meet God again.
Come, let us worship the Lord and walk humbly with our God.
Come, let us.
Please join me in prayer. O God, as a field is made ready for the seed, we too come prepared, open and ready to receive your word and message for us today. Come and be present with us now. Come and enliven our worship. May our spirits be stirred and excited because we are here. Come and be with us now as we say the prayer Jesus taught us to say. Our Father,
who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
May be seated. Our hymn of prayer and praise today is "I Would Be True." You'll find it on page 608 in the hymnal. I invite the children to come forward for a time of sharing. Good morning. How are you all today? Good. Levi's here today too. Hi, Levi.
Hello.
We're glad you and Dad are here. And Mom.
Hi. Dad's right there. This is Pastor Cynthia. This is Victoria. You want to say hi to Victoria? There are times in life when each of us, no matter how big or small we are, we might need some help. Have you ever had a time when you needed some help? Can anybody think of a time when you needed help? Maybe you needed help learning how to tie your shoes. Maybe you needed help opening a big, heavy door on a windy day in Wyoming. That happens. Sometimes when I'm putting away groceries in our kitchen, I buy something that wants to live on the very top shelf, and I have to have my husband help me because he's a lot taller than I am, so he puts things away. But you know, sometimes we like doing things for ourselves too. That's how we learn. Sometimes you tell mom, me do it. I want to do it myself. I bet Mackenzie, there are times that you like doing things yourself. And part of learning how to grow up is learning how to do things ourselves. When we follow Jesus, Jesus invites us to help other people. And we don't want to do things for them that they can do for themselves. But if there's something they need help with, it's good for us to help them. Jesus would have us help others and serve in his name. A good question to learn is, how may I help you? Can you say that with me? How may I help you? Congregation, can you say that? How may I help you? We don't want to just presume that somebody needs help, but if we see someone who's struggling, we can ask, how may I help you? And they might say, I'm fine, thanks. Or they might say, oh, can you carry this for me? Can you give me a hand? And then we can help them because Jesus calls us to help others. The other side of that equation is sometimes we need help. And if someone offers to help us, it's okay for us to say, yes, please, please help me. Would you all say a prayer with me this morning while we thank God for the chance to help others? You want to hold hands with Mackenzie? We'll all hold hands. Dear God, we thank you for the chance to help one another, to be helped by others, and to serve in your name, O Christ. And all God's children said, amen. You can head to Children's Church and worship and wonder. Thank you very much. Bye, Levi.
Bye.
As our children head down the hall to visit with friends this morning, I would encourage you to look at the back of your bulletin. There's a list of prayer concerns. Our card shower today. Bye-bye. Everybody say bye to Levi.
Bye.
Our card shower today is for Wilma Allen. Winnie is in Buffalo living with relatives. And we are just sending her greetings to let her know that her church home of over a century has not forgotten her, as I know she has not forgotten us. Paul?
When I talked to her niece last night in Cincinnati, she had come down from Buffalo. She said, Winnie had a wonderful day. And said, so I was fine.
That is great to hear. We're glad that she is doing well. She had a wonderful day yesterday. So send Winnie your greetings and your love. The beautiful flowers at the front of the sanctuary are in loving memory of John Barrett. His service was held here on Friday. We continue to hold in prayer his family, his wife Ginger, their three children, and prayers also for the family of Tom May, one of his young relatives, Madison, passed away this last week. Prayers for all who are grieving. Health and other concerns, an update from Rita Peterson. Her daughter Frankie seems to be sleeping a lot these days. She said, I don't know if that's a good sign or not, but she's peaceful when she's sleeping, and that's a blessing. We continue to pray for God's strength for both of them. At chapel this morning, someone shared just the joy of it being spring and the delight of being able to come here and worship with fellow believers. Mina Paget shares the good news that her son-in-law is much improved and he's in rehab. Dewey's son and daughter-in-law are moving to San Antonio, Texas. He asked prayers for that young family in this time of transition to new employment, and prayers also for grandparents who will be missing little ones. Dewey will have eye surgery right after Easter, the 24th in Denver. Prayers for him that that procedure goes well. The missionary we're lifting today is Robert Breckenridge, who serves in Zambia. And we continue to hold in prayer those who were affected by a horrific cyclone, people who live in Mozambique, Zimbabwe, and Malawi. We also continue to pray for our neighbors next door in Nebraska and across the Midwest. Floodwaters are beginning to recede, but snow is melting, so it's a challenging time. Our regional prayer partners today, if you want to sign the sheet at the back of the sanctuary, are the members of the planning team for Leadership Advance. This will be an event in Loveland the week after Easter, on Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, April 23rd, 24th, and 25th. It will focus on the theology of evangelism and God's call for us to reach out to others. Doug Goodwin is leading that planning team, and you're encouraged to pray for them and the success of this event. There's more information on the bulletin board if you want to register. Are there other prayer concerns or joys today that we want to share? Madison.
I'm having my upper GI procedure on Friday, and I just hope that they can find whatever's causing the discomfort.
Prayers for Madison that on Friday there will be answers for her discomfort. Dan Cooey.
Janice's surgery went well, and she's recovering rapidly. She was just ready to come to church this morning. At the last minute, she said, maybe I need one more day.
I think one more day of rest. She just had surgery on Thursday, went home from the hospital on Friday. I think one more day of rest is probably a wise idea. So please give her our love and prayers and continue taking care of your wife. Pat. Prayers for healthy pregnancies and healthy deliveries for all the relatives in the Buck family. What an exciting time to know you'll be welcoming so many little ones into your family. A great grandchild in July and triplets in September. Prayers of health and peace for Matt and Aubrey in the months between now and then, as well as health for the three little babies. Mike. Joyous birthday blessings for Aunt Noreen as she turns 92. Debbie. Prayers for the family and friends of Alex, who died at the age of 24 after having seizures. Bob.
Prayers for Kathy Malloy. She got a new pain medication, and she didn't have a bad reaction to it, but unfortunately, even though it's very powerful, it hasn't given her any relief at all with her back pain.
Prayers for Bob's mom, Kathy, as she struggles with back pain. Let us hold all of these and the concerns of our lives before the Lord in a time of shared silence.
O Lord Christ, your entire life embodied God's compassion for all of creation. When you healed the sick, fed the hungry, cared for those in need, you showed us the way to live God's love for others in times of need, and to accept God's healing for ourselves when we need it. Lord, we lift to you prayers this day, asking for hope and healing for all those we have named and others who are in need. Continue to bless Winnie Allen with good days, with the joy of life, and surround her with the support of family and friends. Bring your peace to Ginger Barrett, to John's children, Jeremy and Dennis and Kaylee. Be with Tom as he mourns the passing of great niece Madison, and surround their family with your support. Oh Lord, for those for whom health is uncertain, may the strength of your presence abide every day. We ask you to be with Rita Peterson and her daughter Frankie. Continue to bless Janice with recovery following her surgery. Lord, we pray for wisdom for doctors as they treat Madison Rouse and looking for sources of her discomfort with a GI exam on Friday. May it give answers that lead to treatment and health. God, we pray for our sister in Christ, Kathy Malloy, as she struggles with back pain, that you would ease her suffering and help the doctors know how to balance her medication. God, we ask for your comforting presence to be with a family in our community who lost a loved one named Alex. Be with his wife, widowed at such a young age, as they continue to ask questions, why? Oh God, may your comforting grace come upon those who need it most. We share in celebrations of joy, praying along with Mike for blessings of health and peace for his Aunt Noreen as she turns 92 today. We join with Pat and Jean Buck in praying for a healthy pregnancy as their fifth great-grandchild is on the way for July. And God, we ask you to be with Matt and Aubrey, who are excited to be parents in September to triplets. Holy One, the gift of pregnancy can be a challenging journey physically. And for a mother to raise three little ones to life in our world takes extra strength. So please bless Aubrey with health and watch over her children yet to be. We rejoice in the gift of life, the promise of new babies being born, and the arrival of spring. As snow melts around us, we are aware of those who live with rising flood waters, and so we continue to pray for neighbors in Nebraska and across the Midwest. And we pray for others around the world in African nations still recovering from a severe cyclone. For all people who are affected by natural disasters and storms, we ask strength of community, Holy One, and your presence in their midst. Bless Robert Breckenridge as he serves as a missionary in Zambia, and be with Doug Goodwin and the planning team as they prepare for leadership advance. Oh God, we ask that this event would strengthen an evangelism effort among our Northern District congregations. We are so blessed, Holy One, to be claimed by you and loved by you, to be called by you, O Christ, to serve in your name, caring for one another and caring for neighbors from our doorsteps to the ends of the earth. Continue to bless us with compassion that we might answer your call to live lives of service and advocacy. Help us, Holy One, to be faithful to you always. In Jesus' name, amen.
At the table of Jesus Christ, we are all equally loved and cherished. At Christ's invitation, we are called to dine with each other as sisters and brothers. With this holy meal, we are nourished and refreshed, and then able to resume our united ministry in Jesus' name. Church, the table is set. Jesus is waiting. Now let's sing Jesu, Jesu on page 600 in the hymnal.
Jesus invites us to come to the table as neighbors, as friends, as his own kin. Here at the table, we are served the body and blood of our Lord and Savior, and in turn, we serve one another. Let us remember that night when Jesus met with his friends in the upper room. While they were together, he took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to them and to us, saying, "This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, Jesus took the cup, saying, "This is the new covenant in my blood, poured out for you, to forgive your sin and the sins of many. Each time we eat this bread and drink this cup, we proclaim the Lord's life, death, and resurrection until he comes. These are the gifts of God for the people of God." Let us pray.
God of sacrifice, today we lift up the cross of Christ and proclaim your great love. We come with gratitude for the gifts that are
ours in Christ crucified, new and eternal life, unity and community, and a meaningful purpose. Christ's body of life was broken for us. May this bread that we eat feed us as you help us to feed others, both physically and spiritually. Christ's love and sacrifice were poured out for us. May this cup that we drink bring us closer in spirit to the Christ who has called us here. Fill us now with the power of your Holy Spirit, that we will be bold in our witness to Jesus Christ by offering our hearts and hands through sacrifice and service. Amen.
Thank you.
God provides daily blessings beyond our needs. It is out of this abundance that we can generously give to others. It is what God calls us to do because it is the right thing to do. The diaconate will now wait upon us. Thank you, Lord, for the abundance of your blessings from which we can give our tithes, gifts, and offerings to provide for your will to be done. In the name of our Savior, amen.
Gethsemane, I see his anguished plea beneath the olive trees, and from the upper room I see his arms stretched wide as he is lifted high against the blackened sky.
Thank you, choir, and Ethan, for that beautiful selection today. We are continuing a sermon series on spiritual disciplines during the season of Lent. There are some spiritual disciplines that are obvious enough that even folks who aren't regular church attenders would not be surprised to hear Christians talk about the spiritual discipline of prayer or fasting. Some spiritual disciplines, like community, may seem less familiar but are no less important. This morning, we turn to the theme of the spiritual discipline of service, of caring for the least of these. The thread of caring for the poor and marginalized runs throughout the Bible. God's command for the faithful to act justly is on a par with God's concern for other acts of holy living and faith. As much as we are to pray and fast, we are, as Micah 6:8 says, to do justice, love kindness, and walk humbly with the Lord. Zechariah 7:10 tells us, "Do not oppress the widow, the orphan, the alien, or the poor, and do not devise evil in your hearts against one another." In Leviticus 23:22, God commands, "When you reap the harvest of your land, do not reap to the very edges of your field or gather the gleanings of your harvest. Leave them for the poor and for the foreigner residing among you. I am the Lord your God." Leaving grain standing at the edges of the field allowed those who had no other means of finding food to survive. There are nearly 100 Bible passages dealing with our responsibility of service to the poor and homeless, welcome to the stranger, and providing for those who are hungry. Here are a few more examples. Proverbs 31:8, "Speak out for those who cannot speak, for the rights of all the destitute. Speak out, judge righteously, defend the rights of the poor and needy." Galatians 2:10. They asked only one thing, that we remember the poor, which was actually what I was eager to do. Hebrews 13:16. Do not neglect to do good and to share what you have, for such sacrifices are pleasing to God. And in John 21, among the most significant instructions Jesus gave to his friends at the end of his life, Jesus told Peter not once or twice, but three times, feed my sheep. While some interpret this text to think he was speaking of spiritual food, which is true, of sharing God's love, Jesus also clearly cared that people had food in their bellies. A concern shown by his own hand when he multiplied the loaves and fishes to feed the multitudes. With so many texts to choose from, it was hard to select just one or two for us to focus on today. But I offer you these. If you want to follow along in the Pew Bible from Isaiah 58, in the Old Testament, it's on page 688. Isaiah says, shout out, do not hold back. Lift up your voice like a trumpet. Announce to my people their rebellion, to the house of Jacob their sins. The Lord is speaking. And then later in Isaiah's writing in verse 3, he responds as the people are talking. The people say to God, why do we fast, but you do not see? Why humble ourselves, but you do not notice? It's as if the Israelites are saying, hey, God, look, we're being really holy. Isn't that great? And God responds in verse 6, is not this the fast that I choose, to loose the bonds of injustice, to undo the thongs of the yoke, to let the oppressed go free, and to break every yoke? Is it not to share your bread with the hungry and bring the homeless poor into your house, when you see the naked to cover them, and not to hide yourself from your own kin? Then your light shall break forth like the dawn, and your healing shall spring up quickly. Your vindicator shall go before you. The glory of the Lord shall be your rear guard. Our New Testament reading today comes from Matthew 25. Again, in your Pew Bible, you'll find the New Testament section on page 29. Matthew 25, beginning at verse 31. Jesus is telling a parable of the end times. When the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, then he will sit on the throne of his glory. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate people one from another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He will put the sheep at his right hand and the goats at the left. Then the king will say to those at his right hand, come, you that are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger and you welcomed me. I was naked and you gave me clothing. I was sick and you took care of me. I was in prison and you visited me. Then the righteous will answer him, Lord, when was it that we saw you hungry and gave you food, or thirsty and gave you something to drink? When was it that we saw you a stranger and welcomed you, or naked and gave you clothing? And when was it that we saw you sick or in prison and visited you? And the king will answer them, truly, I tell you, just as you did it to one of the least of these who are members of my family, you did it to me. Will you pray with me? O Holy Lord, we give thanks this day for all the gifts of Scripture that witness to us of Christ's call to care for one another, to care for the least of these. Holy Lord, as we reflect together on these texts, bless us with open hearts, with open minds, with open spirits, that we might receive your Spirit, your wisdom, and your grace. Bless now the words of my mouth and the meditations of each of our hearts, that we may be acceptable in your sight, O Holy One, our Rock and our Redeemer. Amen. A confession before beginning the sermon this morning. I was wrestling this week. There was one night that Charles called and said, "Hey, honey, are you ever coming home from church?" And I said, "I'll be just a little longer." He has a tendency to check up on me when I stay at the church office a little too long. And he said, "Well, how long are you going to be?" And I said, "I don't know." And he said, "What are you doing?" And I said, "Well, I'm finishing the bulletin." And he said, "Well, that's easy." And I said, "Not today." And he said, "Why not?" And I explained to him that, well, God and I were fighting. I kept trying to tell God, "You all didn't need to hear Matthew 25 this morning, but God won." So here we go. Reverend Dr. Dana Kincaid, the senior pastor of First Christian Church in Orange, California, begins a sermon on this text from Matthew 25 this way. Jesus said, "I was hungry. I was thirsty. I was a stranger. I was naked. I was sick. I was in prison." Those who heard him say this were shocked. "Really? That was you?" It's not what they expected to hear. What is fascinating is that one group of people responded with compassion before they ever knew it was Jesus. They're genuinely surprised to learn that it was Jesus, but that isn't what motivated them. Later, she goes on to explain, Jesus could have easily given a lecture saying, "Hey, feed the hungry, give drink to the thirsty, welcome the stranger, clothe the naked, visit the sick and the imprisoned." But instead, he said, "God was hungry. God was thirsty. God was a stranger. God was naked. God was sick. God was in prison." Jesus' words help us see the presence of the holy in those who are too often demonized, people who are shut out, shouted down, lost, and forgotten, are made in God's own image, just as every man, woman, and child who walks this planet. But we turn our heads away, perhaps in shame. Jesus calls us to look God in the eye in the face of our neighbors. It is tempting at times to just blame the poor for being poor. It's too easy to say, well, they're lazy or they don't work hard enough, but that, my friends, is not always the case. This morning, I invite us to reflect on the spiritual discipline of caring for the poor in three ways: to think about hands-on service and advocacy and support. This congregation is really very good about hands-on service. It's something we've grown in the last few years. Even visitors to our church who are only here an occasional Sunday or two often hear about the sandwich ministry. If you have never participated in the sandwich ministry as a member of the church, I invite you to do so. Take that on as a Lenten spiritual discipline. You can come on a Friday afternoon and help make a peanut butter and jelly sandwich. I think almost everyone in the church knows how to spread peanut butter and jelly on a piece of bread and put a sandwich in a Ziploc baggie. If you want to come some Friday, let Amber French know and she'll text you what time they're meeting to do that task. Or come the next day on a Saturday morning about 8:15. You'll be done by 9:30. And you can help put those same sandwiches into a plastic bag with a salty snack and a sweet snack, fruit if we have it, bottled water. If helping with the sandwich ministry is something you've already done, you've made a sack lunch, but you've never actually handed out the sack lunches, then I encourage you to take that next step. Go with Debbie or Keith from here to King's Corner on Saturday about 10:30, and hand out the sack lunches to our neighbors, people who live in Casper who are so hungry they're thankful for a peanut butter and jelly sandwich, of all things. Engage in conversation, even if it's with someone who makes you a little bit uncomfortable. And perhaps in that encounter, you just might meet Christ on the face of a stranger. There are lots of ways at First Christian Church that you can serve. You can tie a fleece blanket, come to one of the quilting groups, volunteer with our Christian education department to teach Sunday school, volunteer as a reader or a grandparent for our preschool children, help with the Boy Scout or Cub Scout troops, visit someone who's in the hospital, sign up for this year's crop walk. There are numerous opportunities of ways to serve in Christ's name here in the church, but we can also volunteer in the community. Many of our members already volunteer at hospice, at the hospital, serve a meal at the Central Wyoming Rescue Mission, restock shelves at a food pantry. We have people involved in children literacy programs who have trained with the Red Cross for disaster response, who've helped build houses for Habitat for Humanity, who regularly drive for Meals on Wheels, who help at the Girls and Boys Club. The list can go on and on. If you're at a point in life where you'd like to volunteer and you feel Christ calling you to serve in some way, there are numerous opportunities listed online at Serve Wyoming and at justserve.org. Perhaps because we're pretty good at serving with our hands, there's another aspect we need to reflect on more. Hands-on service can have a personal and profound effect on our lives, both on the people we help and on our own spirits as we reach out in new ways. But there are times when just feeding the hungry isn't enough, and we need to help address the complex problem of why hunger exists at all, especially in a land of plenty like ours. Many Christians throughout their lives hear in the gospel Jesus' call to lend a helping hand. Additionally, God calls us to cry out for justice alongside those whom society makes voiceless. Turning again to that sermon by Reverend Kincaid in California, she points out that we've all heard, no doubt, the expression, give someone a fish and you feed them for a day. Teach people to fish and you feed them for a lifetime. It's a great saying with a lot of wisdom. But then she challenges us to reflect even further when she asks, what if you teach a man to fish and he's denied access to the pond? What if you teach a woman to fish and the pond is so polluted that her children will get sick from eating the fish, or there are just no fish left? The reality is that not everyone in our world has the same opportunities. The deck is stacked against certain groups of people. Sometimes the most compassionate, the most faithful thing we can do is to address the systems and injustices that keep people stuck. As individuals blessed to live in a country of plenty, one way that we can advocate for others, for justice, for the poor, is by being an informed consumer. It is an act of Christian faith, I challenge you to think, to resist the temptation to always buy the least expensive clothing, because chances are it was assembled with sweatshop labor in horrid working conditions. Do you know the origin of the stuff we buy every day? It's much easier to just go to the grocery store and pick up some produce without ever thinking of the farmers who grew it or the truckers who brought it to us. It's a different experience to go to a farmer's market and sit across the table from someone who planted the seed that brought forth the fruit or vegetable you're going to eat. Fair trade organizations are a way to help us know that the produce we're buying was grown in a just and sustainable way. One example of this is in the coffee industry. If we reflect on the top-to-bottom ratio of income, if we think about how much money a CEO in a corporation makes versus the people who do the work, there's often a gap. Sometimes those gaps are understandable, and sometimes they're ludicrously ridiculous. In the coffee industry, Disciples of Christ congregations often choose to work with Equal Exchange, a fair trade certified organization, to purchase coffee through the Disciples of Christ Coffee Project. The top to bottom pay ratio for Equal Exchange, the rate that their CEO makes, a person who lives in America where a cost of living is high, who has graduate degrees in economics, who understands how to manage a corporation that stretches to Latin America and Africa, the top to bottom ratio for Equal Exchange is 4-1. Their CEO makes 4 times what the people who pick the coffee make. According to Forbes magazine, in the commercial coffee industry, that is, of course, profit-driven, in 2018, the ratio of CEO pay to the wage of average workers picking coffee was 361-1. Something about that equation just doesn't seem just. Advocacy for and with those living in poverty is not just an international challenge. There are significant needs in our own country. There are, of course, models of corporations where CEOs make exorbitant wages compared to what the everyday worker earns. One of the greatest leaders of moral advocacy in our time is the disciple minister from North Carolina, Dr. William J. Barber. He is offering a prophetic voice to call for a renewed poor people's campaign, much like that launched over 50 years ago by the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. and others to address racism, poverty, and unbalanced militarism. I quote from Dr. Barber as he calls for a moral breakthrough for America. Barber says, "We need a breakthrough to bring attention to the poor in a time when we don't even look at their faces. We need a breakthrough through the hate and fear of strangers and turning against one another, a breakthrough until every child is educated and cared for. We need a breakthrough until the sick receive health care and are healed. We need a breakthrough until the poor are lifted and not pushed down. We need a breakthrough until nonviolence is the norm as opposed to violence, and men turn their swords and their plowshares." At this point in quoting Dr. Barber, I get rather uncomfortable. I live in Wyoming, and he doesn't. I know folks who go hunting often and put food on their family table. Dr. Barber speaks with a prophetic voice against the proliferation of semi-automatic weapons easily accessed by those who are not mentally stable or should not have a legal right to gain them, and use those same weapons in our schools or our city streets. He calls us to engage in honest conversation. I think even for us in Wyoming, it's a conversation worth having, and it addresses issues that are separate from going hunting in the fall to put venison in your family freezer. So Dr. Barber calls us to a breakthrough where nonviolence is the norm and men turn their swords, their plowshares, and their weaponry into pruning hooks. We need a breakthrough, he says, because we want a democracy that protects the rights of everyone. We want a democracy where we are truly one nation, indivisible. One nation under God, indivisible with liberty and justice for all. Dr. Barber goes on, "Why must we have a breakthrough? Because systemic poverty is a human invention, not a divine necessity. Deep poverty, that is, having incomes below half the federal poverty level, rose from 3.7% in 1975 to almost 6% over the next 40 years. When both Democratic and Republican administrations were in charge. The war on poverty was not lost. He says we left the field too soon and stopped fighting. There are 15 million more poor people today than there were 50 years ago. 14 million children live below the poverty line in America. If you look at that through the lens of those who are at or below just twice the federal poverty limit, there are 30 million children. 30 million children who are hungry in our country. In 2016, there were over 4 million white children living in poverty, 3.4 million black children, 4.9 million Latino children. The statistics are daunting, and to be honest, make me sick to my stomach. But what can we do? It's easy to just be focused on our own daily lives, to duck our head when the news makes us nervous or angry or confused. To be honest, perhaps we just as soon ignore issues of injustice around us. But we are blessed to live in a democracy that claims to value the voice of every citizen. Granted, at times, it seems that those who donate millions of dollars to political parties have their voice more easily heard. This means that the rest of us must speak up more loudly, more clearly, and with a united voice if our country gets off track. We need to be informed, not by social media, but seek out reliable news sources. When God puts something on your heart, engage in conversation with others, not as a shouting match, but as a time of really listening to seek out how we can live together in ways that are just and fair for all. Advocacy takes energy, and it's part of the spiritual discipline of caring for the least. A third way to answer Christ's call is to give support. There may be times in life when you are not physically able to get out of your own home, let alone fix food for the hungry or swing a hammer or drive a car, but that doesn't mean God is done with you. In any season of life, no matter what gifts and skills we have, we can care for the least of these by offering support to those who serve on the front line, whose passions and spiritual calling lead them into advocacy work or hands-on service. The task is hard, which again is why I identify caring for the least of these, caring for the oppressed in Christ's name, as a spiritual discipline. There's one more story I'd like to share. Last Sunday, Debbie asked me to pray with her. You see, she's on the front lines of poverty in Casper. She heads up our sandwich ministry, but the beautiful thing about Debbie's calling from God is not just that she coordinates volunteers from different churches who work together to make sandwiches, but she builds relationship with the people who are being fed. She knows the names of more homeless people in Casper than I ever will. She knows who doesn't want the peanut butter and jelly sandwich in their sack and will just take the bottle of water. She knows who asks for 5 extra pairs of gloves at Christmas time and really doesn't need them, so she gives them 1 pair. Last Sunday, Debbie shared with me that her heart was breaking. There was a man in our community who went by the name of Ice, who was a regular at the sandwich ministry. Last week, she told me he was found dead in one of our city parks. Ice had been a regular at the sandwich ministry. He talked with Debbie. They'd gotten to know each other. And she knew that he had struggled with addiction for a couple decades, but he'd been doing pretty well. I don't know the details, but my guess is that the demon of addiction got hold of him again. And Ice is no longer with us. That kind of experience is hard for someone who cares as deeply as Debbie does. So even if you don't want to come and make a sandwich or you're uncomfortable handing one out, you can at least pray for those who do that work. Pray for national leaders like the Reverend Dr. Barber, one of our own disciples, who in my mind is a living prophet. Pray for and write letters to elected officials who need our support to make wise but hard decisions. Engage with compassionate listening in conversation with those who see things differently than you do. That's part of the gift of being an American. And part of the gift and challenge of being a Christian is to live with compassion. Compassion for the poor, compassion for those who are different than ourselves. Compassion for every human being who, whether we can see it or not, is created in the image of God. The story Jesus told of the sheep and the goats from Matthew 25 helps us to realize that if we open our eyes, we may actually see God's face in someone who is hungry or someone who has bread to share, in someone who is thirsty and someone who shares a cup of water. We may actually be Christ to someone else and meet Christ in someone else. May it be so, my friends, for that is good news. Amen and amen. Our final hymn today is number 455, You Have Called Me. As we sing together, if there is anyone who is moved to place their membership here at First Christian Church, you're welcome to come forward. If you feel moved to give your heart in a new way to Jesus, we also invite you to come up so that we might pray together. Number 455, You Have Called Me.
Oh,
The spiritual discipline we'll talk about next Sunday is seeking God. It's a good message to invite friends to come and hear. I promise it won't even border on political. If today made you squirm a little and you're glad your neighbor wasn't here, bring them next week. It will be safe. There is coffee and fellowship waiting for us downstairs. We have some wonderful treats prepared by the McNamara's by Joan and Bob. I'd encourage you to stay. And if you don't know them, it's a chance for you to get to know them a little, greet them. There's one more week left for the membership class next Sunday at 9 o'clock. We'll be talking about the history of First Christian Church, our congregation, and the structure of our board and what it means to be involved as a member here. If there's anyone who's been a member of the church for a long time, but you just want to come and join in the conversation, you're welcome. If all hearts and minds are clear, let us pray. O Lord Christ, you call us to serve. Sometimes we answer eagerly with joy, and sometimes our response is timid. Help us to clearly hear your voice, to know how each of us can use the unique gifts you have given in our own lives to serve, to advocate, and to support as part of being Christian. Lord Jesus, as we go forth this week, may we follow you always. In your precious name, O Christ, we pray. Amen.